It's great to be here. It's great to be together, and it's always such a privilege to be able to share with you guys. And I've had a few thoughts and things that I've just been kind of musing on recently, and just thinking about. Which, if it's okay with you, you don't really have much of a choice. I'd just love to share with you, really. So the first is, this phrase, radical settlers. The phrase, it says a lot. And that's that sense of actually, I think, amongst kind of Christians, amongst us, who just kind of feel like we live normal lives, that actually, the radical ones are the ones who go. But actually, I think God is looking for radical settlers. He needs radical people. And I just, my prayer for us as a community is that, we never get lukewarm. Jesus says in Revelation, I either want you to be hot or cold, but not lukewarm. Lukewarm, I just spit out my mouth. And, for me, I just think it's really important that we, we stay just passionate in our pursuit of God and the things of God. When I think about, what did God have in mind when he sent Jesus? And Jesus went through all that he went through, the suffering on the cross, the absolute torment, the agony, just on every level, emotionally, spiritually, physically, what was God's plan and purpose for that? Then raising from the dead, I don't think it was so that just people could just gather and be nice and give a bit of money to the church. Maybe if we're radical, we give 10%, I just think he had so much more than that. I think, when God sent Jesus, he had a movement in mind. A movement of people who would follow in the footsteps of Jesus, which we can't really get away from the fact that that was a really, really radical walk. We can only conclude when we read the life of Jesus and you study the life of Jesus that either he was a good guy and he meant what he's saying, or he was an absolute nutcase. And I just can't buy the fact that there are millions and millions of people all across the world who are daily, not daily, millions daily, or weekly discovering for the first time and daily discovering again and again the reality of the love and impact of this person, Jesus, in their lives. He can't be a madman. And his claims are so radical, and his walk was so radical, it's so countercultural. He says, love your enemies. Don't just love the people that you're nice to. Don't put people who are nice to you. Love your enemies. If you want to gain this life, you've got to give it away. You've got to pick up my cross and follow me. If you want to be the greatest, be the least. If someone slaps you on the cheek, give them the other cheek. If someone asks you to carry, Roman soldier asks you to carry their bag, carry it another mile. It's this totally countercultural, radical lifestyle of sacrifice, costly sacrifice, generosity, giving, just pouring out, giving away our lives. And he demonstrates it on the cross, the ultimate demonstration of love. He said, you want to be the greatest, follow me. And he washes his feet. It's radical. It's a radical person to follow. It's not just, hey, I believe in God and let's just be nice to one another. Actually, following in the footsteps of Jesus, it's revolutionary. And what does that look like when people all across the face of the earth like grab a hold of that and start living in that way? I think this changes everything. I think that's more what God had in mind. So I want to explore this idea of what does it mean. If God's looking for radical settlers, if to be a disciple of Jesus, to be a true disciple of Jesus, you just have to be radical. There is no two ways about it. What does that look like in real life? When we've just got jobs and we don't want to be weirdos, and we get hurt and we get disappointed, we get frustrated, and we feel alone at times. What does it look like to be radical? I'll say as a tangent, I think part of it is about doing it together. I think often if you want to be radical, an idea that comes with that is actually I need to break away from the pack and go by myself. but actually that soon wears thin. And I think there's that African proverb which I've been thinking about recently, which is, if you want to go fast, go it alone. If you want to go far, go together. And I think there's something about this. If we want to be radical for the long term, we've got to do it together. So what does it look like? For me, I've just been thinking about just the simplicity. You know, you can get, I get lost in my own head. I don't know about you guys, but I think about all these kind of concepts and blah, 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 blah. And I just thought, you know, actually, what is the greatest commandment? And it's this. And, many of you will know this. We've talked about it a gazillion times. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the prophets hang on these two commandments. So I'm not going to take long on it, but what does it mean to love the Lord your God? Well, I think actually we all need to just take that seriously and just love God with everything that we have. And like Beryl was saying, if you feel like you're getting stale in your walk, do something about it. You know, we have to really take responsibility for the state of our souls. I don't want to stand before Jesus when I'm dead and I stand in front of him. I don't want him to look at me with love in his eyes and a tinge of disappointment. I don't want to stand before him and be like, oh, I kind of knew you. Hello, person who I believed in. I want to stand before God and be like, hey, my friend, great to see you again. We were just with each other half an hour ago. I don't know about you. That's what I want to be like. And you know, it's not easy. Week in, week out, we can get disappointed. We can get disillusioned. But I think it's really important that we find ways, like different ways. It's the same as any relationship, either a friendship or a marriage or whatever. Let's find ways to really take responsibility for our relationships with God. And if you've never been in a relationship with God, you don't know what that looks like, it's the most phenomenal thing. It's the most beautiful thing. It's like just starting a friendship. You just simply pray, and you just get, you know, just in your own mind, you go, Lord, I want to start to get to know you. Start reading the Bible, start praying, and just start listening and start paying attention to the way you feel. And suddenly your heart becomes awakened, and as you read the Bible, thoughts jump out with you, and you start thinking a different way. You start to feel alive. You start, the world seems to look, be like it's in colour and not black and white, and you start to hear the birds singing, and it's just the most phenomenal thing when you're in a relationship with God. So I want to encourage you just to go for it. Just go for it. It's the absolute best. But yeah, one idea that I had recently was prayer pairs, and I've got a couple of friends of mine who I've invited to come and share. Come on, have you come? Sorry. I think we need to find, if we're going for the long haul, I think things can get stale, and it's good to just kind of come up with new ways of, loving the Lord your God doesn't have to be like a singular thing. It doesn't have to be, oh, it's just between me and God. Actually, we can support one another in this and do it as community. So, Chloe and Amy, you've started something called a prayer pair. Why did you start this thing called a prayer pair?
Well, Dave, it was your great idea, obviously. And but part of my general walk with God was sort of going through a bit of a rejuvenation period and finding new ways of spending time with him, and you'd obviously talk about prayer pairs, and I thought I would approach Amy and see if she'd say yes, which she very kindly did. And so yeah, it was just another way of spending time with God. But also particularly a way of reading the Bible, which I sometimes find hard. So it was something to do with someone else, which might help.
So what is the what's the format of your time together? How do you spend it?
So we found it quite difficult to find an evening because we're both quite busy. So we actually meet every Wednesday at 7:30 in the morning. So always feels a bit of a struggle getting up a bit earlier, but it's always well worth it. So we just have an hour together. And generally we chat for about the first 20 minutes, or half an hour, but just kind of share life, what's going on with each other, and just love and support each other with what's going on, and then read the Bible for sort of 20 minutes, and then have a prayer. We'll pray together for sort of 10 minutes at the end, and yeah, love it. It's really, really good.
Do you read the Bible in your head or out loud?
we read out loud. We take it in turns, and it's quite cute, really. It's like being at school. We have different translations, so sometimes we'll read it in my translation and then in Amy's, or we'll take it in turns to read a chapter each, or sometimes one of us will just read. But it's really great reading out loud, because you kind of hear it really differently than when you read it on your own. So we've just been reading Galatians, for example, and it was totally different reading it out loud for the first time, because you could just hear it was this massive rant from Paul, basically, and you could hear it was just one really coherent argument. He was just reinforcing the point over and over again, which is just something that I'd never realised when I've read it, you know, in my head.
And how has being in a prayer pair affected you?
Well, it's really good, actually. No, it's great. I'd highly recommend it. I always look forward to it on a Wednesday. It's just like a real boost at the beginning of the day, and, I don't know, sometimes midweek when you're working and stuff, you can kind of, you know, be a bit of a drag or whatever. I don't know, it's a real pick-me-up, or if there's anything going on, you know, as well as reading the Bible, just a real support for each other. And and reading, actually. I was just thinking when you were saying it then, it kind of brings it to life, and it's more than just words. When I hear Chloe sort of read the verses or whatever, there might be something in the way that she said it that brings something more to life or means more to me or whatever. So it's really, really helpful having it. Yeah, it's great.
Thank you. you get the picture. I kind of saw it as a, like, having a gym buddy. I started going to the gym, but it's been much easier since I started going with Paul Stock. Although we actually need to get back on that. Gym buddies are laying each other down. Come on. But it's sometimes, you know, the super people are really disciplined who go by themselves week in, week out. But actually, it's so much easier if you've got someone to go, you know, come on, we're going to go together. And you go together. And I just think it's sometimes really great to have a mate to walk stuff out with. So as I talk, if that kind of is resonating with you, you think, actually, I'm part of a small group, but this could be a really good addition. Or if you're not part of a small group and this is something which would work, then I really do encourage you to just grab a mate and be like, you know, let's be a prayer pair together and see how it goes. So is that okay? Just to throw that into the mix as an idea. So that's love the Lord your God. I won't say anything else about that, because, you know, we talk about that all the time. Love your neighbour as yourself. Well, we have a huge system in place to love ourselves. Every morning I get up and I love myself by brushing my teeth, if it's a Monday. putting some deodorant on, if it's a Tuesday. Putting some clean clothes on, if it's a Wednesday. You know, I seek to, I try and love myself by doing exercise when I've got Paul with me. I try and love myself by trying to manage my finances well, by keeping my house tidy, by trying to eat healthily. You know, we do, you know, by going on holiday, by resting, by seeing friends who I love, by watching good films. You know, we have this huge system in place, which we have in place in order to love ourselves well and to care for ourselves well. And that's really, really important as Christians that we do that, that all people do that. If we can't care for ourselves well, then we can't really do anything kind of sustainably in the world or love other people really well. So, you know, I want to encourage you to really love yourself well. It's really, really important. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. You're very, very valuable. So look after yourself. To love your neighbour as yourself. Actually, if you take that kind of idea of actually we put a whole bunch of different things in place to love ourselves, then actually loving our neighbour is so much more than just caring for their spiritual well-being. It's so much more than just kind of encouraging people to be in prayer pairs. Actually, you know, it can be quite a costly thing, actually. You know, I was talking to Al about this, and he was saying, just imagine, you know, if you care for yourself by brushing your teeth each day, what if you just have to brush someone else's teeth every day? Every day, brushing someone else's teeth. I'm just kind of got weird images now. But you get the point. There's a whole raft of different ways that we can love people. this idea of, you know, loving the Lord your God with all your heart and then loving your neighbour as you love yourself, it's actually the reason. It links in with God's mission, Theologian Chris Wright, he wrote this: the mission of God is his self-revelation. It is his primary desire to make himself known, for he knows that this knowledge and relationship is what humans need to be fully human and thereby whole as individuals, communities, or societies. So God's mission is about revealing himself, God's purpose. He just wants to just love on people. When people encounter him, when they realize who they are, they just start to flourish. They are changed, and as we are changed, the people around us change, because we see injustices or we see problems, and you know, we choose love where we previously would have chosen revenge or whatever it is. You know, he changes us, and society and the world is changed. We become more human. What God originally had in mind when he created humans, when we meet with him. Does everyone understand that? Think of not human being, evil people, and you think, how the hell can you do that? You know, it's animalistic. This is the opposite. Another way of loving, I've got a few frameworks I want to offer you about what it means to love other people, okay? So that's where we're going. This is something, has anyone seen this before? This is called Maslow's Hierarchy of Needs. Nice. So just to kind of go through it quickly, actually, this kind of sociologist or psychologist, I'm not really sure who he was, a guy called Maslow, who everyone loves to quote and teach from, basically says, as human beings, we all have needs. And so at the very basic, all of us, we have physiological needs. So we need shelter, we need food, we need rest, we need warmth, and we need safety and security. So you know, and if we don't have those things, we don't have a roof over our head, or if we're worrying about are we going to eat tomorrow, we don't really care about anything else. It is survival mode. That is the absolute primary thing to get sorted. Once you've got those things sorted, once you've got a bit of food, a bit of shelter, then actually you start going, I'm all right, I'm a bit comfortable. And then you start going, as a human being, you go, I actually need a few mates. I feel a bit lonely here in my shelter that I've just built. I'm actually looking for someone who I can really disclose myself to, and really someone to know me, and say, I want to know other people. And I've got a little project I want to do. I want to try and accomplish some stuff. Our needs as humans, they build on one another. And actually, it's really important that when we're trying to love people, we actually love them, in a sensible order. If you see a homeless person, you don't go, hey, who are you at your core? Let's really discuss that. What are your dreams? Actually, the main thing he's interested in is a home. On top of that, then we look at, how do we achieve our potential? We've got some mates, we've got some relationships. You're now looking at, who am I? What am I called to do? What's my mark on this world? When we love people, when we care for people, we need to care for them at the right level. Okay, is that all right? Framework number two is the love languages. Hands up if you've heard of love languages. Love languages, many of you have heard of, some of you won't have heard of, is something which I have found really helpful. There are, according to this book, this person who wrote this love languages thing, there are five love languages, and they are the receiving of gifts, words of affirmation, acts of service, physical touch, and quality time. And the idea is that we all communicate and receive love in these different ways. And some of us have dominant modes of receiving, communicating love. So receiving gifts, it's that kind of classic, I was thinking about you this week, and I saw you this thing, and I got it. And you're like, you're thinking about me, that was so nice. Oh, I really appreciate that gift. Words of affirmation is, thanks for the gift, but I just, why do you love me? Tell me why you love me. Tell me what you like about me. And when those words come out, you're like, oh, yeah. Thanks for the gift, but just tell me I'm great, acts of service is like, I don't want your lip service. I don't want you just to tell me I'm great. I want you to show me that you actually care about me. Mow the flipping lawn, If you really love me, don't you just pay for it? Pay for it with your time. That's the most valuable thing. Your efforts, actually, acts of service. Physical touch is like, I'm not really too bothered about that. All I really need is a cuddle. And, when you just feel those hands just on you, everything's right with the world, just a nice cuddle, just the feeling of touch just communicates love. I'm just loving myself right now. And quality time is like, you know, you know what, I don't really care about, you know, you give me a hug. I don't really care about the fact you've got me a present or that you're telling me I'm great. What I really want is just to spend the day with you. And all of us kind of resonate with those love languages. And I just, again, it's a framework I offer to you. If we want to love people well, it's sometimes really important that we actually figure out what one another's love languages are. So a certain family member of mine, their love language is time. Mine isn't time. So if you're a friend of mine and you struggle that I don't hang out with you, that's why. I just don't think that way. But if I give you a hug and tell you that I think they're awesome, then that means I love you, because those are mine. So if we really want to love people well, let's get to know and say, okay, so yours is time. So I'm actually going to try and make the effort and go, I want to spend some time with you, because I want to make you aware. And it just helps the flow, you know. Let's watch the video.
For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. All things means all of creation. God's desire is for every sphere of culture to be transformed. Business, media, education, arts, religion, family, and even politics. But most of our energy, time, and resources as the church seem to be invested only in the religious sphere. We're training people to be better worship leaders, better preachers, and better small group leaders. But not so much of our time is spent training people to be better teachers, better journalists, or politicians. In fact, we may only be impacting 1/7 of culture. These spheres are transformed by the presence of prayerful, trained up believers within them. For too long, as Christians, we've been shouting from the sidelines rather than getting on the pitch. It's easy to send an email or a postcard. It's harder to build relationships and work with those we may not necessarily agree with. In politics, decisions are made by those who show up. We have a choice as believers in the UK. Are we going to spend the next few years just commentating and complaining about the state of our country? Or are we going to follow the biblical precedent of people like Joseph, Esther, and Daniel, who served in the midst of regimes that make present-day politics look positively virtuous? Surely it's time for Christians to show up. We can just follow, or we can serve and lead. Your vote could just be the start of you making decisions, not the end. So why don't you join a political party or a campaign or connect with your local councillors or MP? And above all, pray. Rather than shouting from a distance, you could be whispering from up close. We will see God's will be done and his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. The question is, will we be part of making it happen? Show up. Jesus did.
So that's a video by our friend Andy Flanagan, and he's talking about getting involved in politics, and I think you know, he also mentioned getting involved in other spheres of influence, and I just showed the video because I feel like it captures something about this, and where I'm going is that actually we're just to love people really, really well where God's placed us, whether it's politics or wherever it is. So the other day, just to transition, I saw a guy who leads a church down in Pioneer, it's a Pioneer church down in Thanet, a guy called Mike Andrea, and I just spent the afternoon with him. They're seeing around 10 people come to Jesus every single week at the moment, which is amazing what's going on. And their church budget is £800,000 a year. Half of that comes from the church, which is a similar budget to River, and the other half comes from the local government and the local police and the town council. And I was like, Mike, what's your story? How do you double your budget through that? And he went, you know what? A lot of people ask me this question, and the answer is, we've just tried to love people really, really well. And that was it. He said, as a church, over the last 10 years, we've just really tried to love our community really, really well. And sometimes we've filled a need, and then it started to be funded. Other times, I've just tried to meet with the police and go, hey, mate, how can we help you? How can we support you? And basically now, they pretty much run the entire youth service for the town council. But he said, we haven't gone in there with any agenda or anything like that. Our primary responsibility is a church, in wherever God's placed us, is just to be the best friends we can be. So when he goes and he meets with the local MPs and the local councillors and stuff like that, often they don't even talk about the needs of the community or how the projects are going. He just sits them down and goes, so how are you doing today? I think part of this idea of being, what does it mean to be radical settlers, is to be just really, really good friends to people. And see what happens. They're seeing that many people come to faith, because he's saying the key to seeing that many people come to faith is loads of people are coming to church, loads of people coming to the Alpha Course, not because we hype people up and say, you've got to bring your friends. He goes, he encourages the church. He goes, guys, let's be brave together, but let's most importantly just pick some people who we can be the best friends we possibly can be to them, and Jesus is an overflow of that. I thought that's a great approach. It's genius. I just want to offer it to you guys. I think it's something we should probably do. Let's just be the best friends that we can be to some people. Who is it? Is it your boss? Is it your classmate? Is it a teacher? Is it a colleague? Is it, you know, who is it? Is it your neighbour? Is it someone in the local council, John? You know, it's like, who is it? And let our agenda be, how can I love this person really, really well? Some of the ways that we love people is like the Good Samaritan. This is a picture of the Good Samaritan, taken from a Catholic church window. You know, a Good Samaritan is this guy, and he looks after this guy who's been mugged on the Jericho Road, and he picks him up, and he cares for him, and he pays for his medical bills, and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, that the church is pretty good at that. That's like this kind of quite a sexy thing to do. It's like, you know, this person's been transformed, you know. But we get, you know, good buy-in from that. If we get up the front and go, hey, everyone, you know, that money that you put that project in, you know, the money that you funded for that project has helped all these people, and, you know, this person's life's been transformed. And, you know, it's a sexy thing, isn't it? You see it. It's overtly caring love. I think getting involved in some of the spheres of influence, we can covertly love in ways that's really, really not sexy, and it doesn't look that great from the front, because actually some of you guys are able in today's world to make the Jericho Road a little bit safer, so that you get some security lights, some security cameras installed, so that there's not that the guy doesn't get mugged next time, and the time after, and the time after. But in order to do that, you need to sit on some committee, which is flipping boring. We all have our individual areas where we can love people, either overtly in a really cool way, or actually covertly in a way which isn't a great story, but God sees. Whether it's providing jobs for people or providing technology, like, you know, Paul Turnbull, technology which saves lives, you know, whatever it is. Let's aim to love people, either in people or the systems which affect people. So there's different spheres of influence, and the last thing I kind of really want to share is just, I kind of just want to share something which I, if there's anyone in the room, I'd like you to join us on this. And it's Chloe and I have been thinking about fostering. Well, we thought about fostering for years. We just thought it'd be a really cool thing to do. We had this vision for our home to be a place where people would come and they'd get cared for, and we just love them and stuff like that. And a year ago at the Pioneer Leaders Conference, a guy called Krish Kandaya, he came and he showed he showed this video. So that, those statistics sound like a lot. You know, it sounds like a lot of kids which either need adopting or fostering. But the reality is there are more churches in the UK than that. So if just one couple in each church just opens their home, we as the UK church can solve the problem. And I was like, man, you know, what does love, what does being a radical settler look like in Marlow? What does love look like in Marlow? Well, if I was in Africa and I was living, you know, as a missionary, and I had, you know, and there's some kids in my village, you know, who didn't have a home or whatever, I'd let them in. Because that's what you do. But in here, it's hidden. But the issue is still the same. And it's this amazing way, it's also this amazing way where the church can work with the state. Colin's trying to recruit Christian foster carers and speak to church leaders in the local area. If we can find 40 new foster carers, it saves the local government £1 million a year. So anyway, a year ago at this conference, I was just really moved, and we've been talking about it for a while and just thinking, maybe we should do this. And so I took this key, and it was just this prophetic key of just, you know, opening your heart, opening your home or whatever. And exactly a year to the day, this little girl called Shannon moved into our house. 7-year-old girl who's gone now. But just to kind of share this with you, really, I just want to kind of share the journey that Chloe and I will probably be bringing kids to church with us from time to time. And the church is a great support network, and pray with us or whatever. But I just, you know, if you want to kind of in the midst of what does it look like to be just radically, simply look like, not saying that we're radical or whatever, but what does it look like to love? God's got a heart for orphans. Pseudo orphans. If you've got some space in your home, you think you can do it, just go for it. Let's do it together. So I conclude with this. What does it look like to be a radical settler? I think my conclusion is this. I'd like us just to think for a while this question. Who is God asking me to love really well? And how am I to do that? What are the practicalities? I'd just like to invite Andy maybe just to come and play. Just give the next 5 minutes or so just having a think and just have a pray, do some reflection. Just think, who should I at this time in my life just love really, really, really well? What practical ways can I do that? Once you've thought about that, you might want to think, you know, do I need a prayer pair? Who'd be a good prayer pair? Is there anything I need to do to love myself better?
As it is in will be done the same. On earth as it is in heaven, let heaven come to earth as it is.
Yeah, just as Andy kind of plays, feel free just to, you know, to enter into worship, stand and, you know, sing along. You might want to grab someone to pray with, and you think, actually, you know what, just stand with me with this thing, you know, with this thought, or, you know, this thing that I feel like God's been speaking to me about. Feel free to stand with someone. Feel free to come to the front if you want to grab some prayer. There'll be some people here at the front who we can pray with you, or just enjoy just being with God, really.
Let heaven come.